Luke chapter number 15, beginning at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. He would have fain had filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You may be seated. I want to preach a little bit this morning, and it's not a new message, but it's burning in my heart this morning. Confessions from the pig pen. You know, if you want to know about the pig pen, then you need to talk to somebody that's been there.
Amen.
You need an eyewitness account of what takes place in the pig pen. You need a confession from someone that spent time in the pig pen. The prodigal son, he spent some time in the pig pen, and he could tell us exactly what to expect in the pig pen. You may be here this morning and say, well, I've never been backslid and I don't intend on backsliding. But sometimes we need to be reminded of how bad it is in the world.
Amen.
It's not a good thing to walk away from God. It's not a good thing to slide away from the truth. Amen. That's not something that occurs by accident. That's something that occurs by choice.
Amen.
Anybody that walks out on God walks out because they choose to walk out. Nobody can make you backslide. Nobody can cause you to quit on God. Amen. Everybody that quits, quits by conscious decision.
Yes. Amen.
It might be a decision that stretches out over months and months or even years, but ultimately they come to a point in their life where they decide, amen, that they're not going to go to church anymore. They're not going to live for God anymore. They're going to start doing the things of the world and stop doing the things of righteousness.
Amen.
So this particular story is the classic story in the Bible of the father with two sons, and how that one of those sons one day came to the father and said, I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait till you die. I don't want to wait till a later date. I've got some things I want to do right now while I'm young. I want you to give me my inheritance. So the father divided his inheritance out. And he gave the portion that was due to that younger son. And that younger son took all of that he was given, whatever it was. A substantial inheritance. And the Bible says he went to a far country. He left his homeland. He left his father's house. He left where he grew up. And he traveled to a strange place. And the Bible says, while he was there, he spent his inheritance on riotous living. He spent all that he had on whatever the world had to offer. Let me tell you, the world does have something to offer. Come on. That does offer something. But what I'm trying to convey to you this morning, that what the world offers you, amen, will eventually destroy you.
Amen.
You young people in here, there's going to come a point in your walk with God where you're going to have to decide you're going to get up for church and go to the church.
Amen.
See, right now some of these children, they don't have a choice. Mama gets them up and gets them ready. Daddy gets them up and gets them ready. But one day you're going to come to an age where you're going to make your own decisions. Where you're going to decide if you're going to go to church. Where you're going to decide if you're going to go to youth rally. Where you're going to decide if you're going to go to fellowship meeting. Or whatever, camp meeting or revival. Amen. It'll be in your lap. It'll be your decision. And you can choose not to, or you can choose to.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This son had been raised in a great home. He'd been raised in a home where the father had evidently taught him the principles of godliness and righteousness, had taught him the Word of God. But there came a point where he became an older young man and he wanted to make his own decisions. The decisions that he made were wrong. They were bad decisions. Man, our world is full of people making bad decisions. Hallelujah. Folks, I see it all the time. You see it all the time. There's people out there that decide to live their life the way they want to. Well, come on. You know, I had to run up to 146 Grocery, R&D's is what I still call it, but run up there this morning before church and, amen, get a gallon of milk. And while I was there, while I was there checking out, I don't know, there was two or three people buying big old cases of booze. Hallelujah. I mean, these big old armfuls of, amen, of liquor. And I thought, amen, I said, my goodness, this world just can't seem to run. It has to run on alcohol.
Amen.
It seemed like people can't do anything today without drinking.
Amen.
Am I telling the truth?
Right.
And just, it's our country is eat up with it. Well, glory. Amen. A lot of people are making bad decisions.
Amen.
Folks, I'm going to tell you, there is going to be no joy in that. That's only going to bring a temporary, amen, pleasure. But it's not a fulfilling and lasting pleasure. Amen. It will come now. It'll be gone tomorrow. But I'm telling you, you can have joy in the Lord that will last for all eternity.
Amen.
This young man had a joyful home.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you, isn't it wonderful when the home is ordered? When there's order in the home?
Amen.
Man, I'll tell you, ain't nothing like, I'm glad I was raised in a home like that. I'm glad my I never had to worry about my dad stumbling in at 2 a.m. drunk.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. I'm glad, amen, that in the home that I was raised in, we had a curfew. Come on.
Amen.
I'm glad, amen, that we didn't stay up all night running the roads.
Amen.
Come on. I'm glad that we never had to have deputies come over and mitigate a dispute between mom and daddy. Woo, come on. I tell you, what a wonderful way to live. Hallelujah. Well, that's the kind of home this young man was raised in. A home where there was order. A home where there was peace. A home where there was joy. A home where God was lifted up in everything that was done. There's no screaming and hollering. There's no punching your hand through the sheetrock.
Come on.
Come on, somebody. There ain't nobody slinging stuff all over the house. Come on. That's a good home. Ooh, there's a lot of homes in America that are run just like that. Where the mamas and daddies cuss out the 3-year-olds. Come on. I remember one day buying gas up in Livingston. Amen. This little boy, he might have been 4. Amen. And the mother, amen, she was mad at him. I don't know. You know how a little boy can be at 4. He probably was acting up or something. I don't know. I didn't see what he did. I'm telling you, she was cussing that boy. I'm going to whip your blankety blank blank and I'm going to do this. And I'm telling you, it was so disgusting. Come on. I said it was disgusting. That's no way to discipline a child.
Amen.
Come on. I said that's no way to discipline a child. You're not going to get any respect from that child by cursing that child. Amen. If that child needs a spanking, give him a spanking. But what he never needs is a cussing.
Yeah.
Ooh, come on. That's an unordered home. That's a home of chaos. And that describes accurately the majority of the homes in America. You know, there's homes in America that are so torn up, it's unbelievable. There's children out there don't know who their daddy is. Come on. Somebody wrote me a while back and wanted me to do a review of a particular show coming on television for this magazine. And I wrote them a review. Amen. And I'd never seen the show. I didn't watch it. Amen. But they had a little clip on YouTube where a news media had went and they were talking about, it was something about preacher's daughters. Anybody heard of it? And wanted me to write a review of it. So I did. Amen. I watched that little clip, this news clip. And amen. And these preacher's daughters, it, evidently this crew, it's like one of them reality shows. And they run around filming, amen, these three preachers' homes, these three pastors' homes that has teenage daughters in it. Amen. And one of the daughters, amen, got pregnant and wasn't married. Amen. And when they was interviewing this girl, amen, they asked her who the daddy was. And she said, I really don't know. She'd been with so many guys, she didn't know who the daddy was. That's chaos.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Amen. There's an answer to that, and it's the Word of God. You keep yourself pure till you're married.
Amen.
Woo. But that's America today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This young man was raised in a good home. But there come a day that he wanted to go sow his wild oats. He wanted to go out and see what the world was all about. Hallelujah. So he took his inheritance, went to a far land, and he spent it all. We don't know. The Bible doesn't really say righteous living. That includes a lot of stuff. Parties, drunkenness, prostitutes. Could have been all of that. Gambling. I mean, tell you, he probably did everything that his daddy never would let him do. And there came a day when he dug down in his pocket to get a wad of money out, and it was empty. Oh man, where'd all that money go? Man, I had a big old roll when I left home. Where'd it all go? And all of a sudden, all those buddies that were his big friends, all the ones that just loved him and wanted to party with him every night, all of a sudden he looked around and they weren't nowhere to be found. Because he wasn't paying the bar tab anymore. Come on. He didn't have any money. He meant to pay for the gambling. And all his buddies have abandoned him. And he's in a far country and he's all alone. And he don't have no way. He don't have money to get home to dad. He don't know what to do. So the Bible says he joined himself to a citizen of that country. He hired on as a servant. Maybe I can get a little bit so I don't have to starve to death. And he began, amen, the man sent him out into the fields to feed the swine. Now you've got to know, folks, this story is told from a Jewish perspective. That's as low as you can go. Because they don't eat pig. They don't touch pigs. They don't raise pigs. Come on, somebody. This is the lowest of the low. Amen. He's a Jewish boy. He's never ate bacon and ham his whole life. He's never touched one of them. May not have ever even seen one. But now he's out there feeding them. He's at the very bottom, folks. Hallelujah. And I'm preaching on confessions from the pig pen. If we could ask that prodigal son this morning, could you give us a first-hand account of what it's like in the pig pen? I believe the first thing he would say is, it stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Anybody ever smelled a pig pen?
Yeah.
Woo, come on, somebody. Woo. Believe me, we raised pigs when I was growing up out on the farm. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, if the wind's just right and it's blowing through the house, I'm going to tell you it's not a pleasant smell.
Yeah.
Ooh, it stinks.
Yeah.
I said it stinks.
Yeah.
And a life of sin stinks.
Amen.
The mud, the refuse, the slop. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
All of that combines together, amen, creates an aroma, amen, that'll make your hair curl. Hallelujah. Stinks. Amen. When people begin to live sinful lives and they give themselves over to sin, I can tell you that it will leave a stench on them.
Amen.
Sin always leaves its mark. Somebody said, oh well, I'm sinning and I ain't hurting nobody but me. I'm not hurting anybody but me. I beg to differ with you. Because when you sin, it leaves an impression on your life that will affect everybody around you.
Amen.
You may make the claim that you're only hurting yourself, but that's a lie from the devil himself. Because when you sin, you're bringing a reproach on you. That's going to affect your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your husband, your wife, your sons and your daughters. It's going to affect everybody that you come in contact with. They're going to come around you and they'll say, whoo, man, you stink. You want to know what it is? The pig pen's rubbing off on you.
Come on, bro.
All of a sudden, your attitude will begin to stink. Whoo, come on. You let somebody get away from the church, get away from the living God, you watch how their attitude goes south. Woo, come on.
Amen.
Amen. The pig pen will leave its stink on you.
Amen.
It'll make your attitude stink. It'll make your thinking stink. Come on.
Amen.
It'll make your relationship to others stink.
Amen.
So if we could ask that prodigal son this morning, could you tell us a little bit about what you experienced when you was in the pig pen? He would say it stinks. The second thing, I say, well, could you elaborate further, prodigal son? I believe the next thing he would say is, it's dirty. Hallelujah. The pig pen is nasty, folks. I mean, do you ever walk up to a pig pen and want to just throw yourself out in the middle of it and just wallow around? Why? Because it's nasty.
Amen.
It's filthy, it's dirty, it's disgusting.
Amen.
And folks, you don't have to be around the pig pen very long before it rubs off on you.
Amen.
And you go home with a little mud on you. Somebody said, where you been? Well, I've been nowhere. Well, what's all that mud on you? Oh, come on.
Wow.
I ain't been drinking. Yeah, come on. I'm going to guarantee you, if you spend time around the pig pen, it stinks. And number two, it's nasty. It's dirty.
Amen.
Well, glory.
Amen.
The prodigal son found himself one day feeding the pigs.
Amen.
He was backslid. Amen. I want you to know this morning, sin is dirty, filthy, disgusting. If you spend time around it, the dirt and the mud of the pig pen are going to rub off on you. Not only will it leave you with the smell of the pig pen, but it'll leave with the mud of the pig pen clinging to your life. There's no way you can hang around the pig pen and stay clean. Well, I'm just going to go out there. They're my friends. I'm not going to do what they do. I'm not going to drink, and I'm not going to act like they do. They're just my buddies. Let me tell you something. You can't hang around the pig pen without it eventually touching your soul.
Amen.
You can't hang. I remember one time, amen, there was a woman, amen, years ago that went to our church, amen, and she said, well, my husband wants me to go to the bar with him. He wants me to go to the bar. Amen. What do I do? I said, you don't go.
Amen.
Come on. I said, you don't go. He wasn't a Christian. He was a sinner. I said, you don't go. She said, well, I'm going to go anyhow. Amen. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to do what they're doing. Let me tell you something. There's no place for you and I sitting in the bar room.
Amen. Amen. Right.
He said, what if my husband tells me I have to go? You don't have to go. You ought to obey God rather than man.
Amen.
Ooh. Well, I don't trust him to go there. And you got a big issue to deal with.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The third thing, if you were to ask the prodigal son, say, "Prodigal son, could you give me a little more information about that pig pen?" First he said it stunk. The second thing he said was, "It's nasty, it's dirty." The third thing he'd say is, "The company is unclean." Folks, it's not called a pig pen for nothing.
Amen. Yes,
sir. It's pigs that make it the pig pen.
Amen.
So if you spend time in the pig pen, you're hanging around pigs.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. I thought some of you would answer that for me. You're hanging around pigs.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. If you got an unsaved loved one that's hanging around with people, amen, let me tell you something. Then their people's attitude towards marriage is going to begin to rub off on them.
Amen.
Hey, well, glory. They might be a good upstanding country boy, might be a good upstanding country girl, but if you hang around people that have a low attitude towards marriage, it'll begin to affect you.
Amen.
Come on, there's people out there who don't think it's a big deal to cheat on their husband or wife. If you hang around people like that, eventually you won't think it's such a big deal.
Amen.
Right.
Well, glory. Amen. That's why I want to hang around people that hold marriage as sacred and holy.
Amen.
Woo, come on. I don't want to hang around pigs. Come on. If you were to ask that prodigal son this morning, well, could you give me some more descriptions about the pig pen? He's already said it stinks, it's dirty, the company's unclean. Fourth thing I believe he'd say is the food is slop. The food is slop. Folks, you don't feed pigs a gourmet meal. Come on. They don't eat escargot. Well, maybe they do. Amen. I don't eat escargot. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. But they don't eat crepes. Well, glory.
Amen.
Come on. Amen. What pigs eat is what nobody else wants to eat.
Amen.
Woo. What they eat is what's disgusting. They eat the leftovers, the refuse, the stuff you rake off in the garbage pail. Come on. Amen. When you live in sin, let me tell you that what you're feeding on spiritually is slop.
Amen. Amen.
Come on.
That's good, brother.
That music that the world churns out, it ain't nothing but slop.
Amen.
I don't care if it's got a rock beat or a country beat, it's slop.
Amen.
Amen. I've been wanting to write an article on country music. I'm going to tell you what, when you look at these songs and what they sing about, amen, it is absolutely awful.
Amen.
Whiskey, drinking, partying, unfaithful, fornication, adultery. Come on, folks. How in the world is that going to help anybody live a clean, moral, holy life? I want you to know, whatever you feed on television, movies, music, magazines, amen, much of that stuff is nothing but slop.
Amen.
So the prodigal son would tell us, it's slop. Luke 15 and 16 says, he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And he's so hungry, Brother Chris, he's thinking about eating what they're eating. He's so hungry, all of a sudden, that old slop began to look good.
Whew.
You know what? You're going to feed on something. Everybody is.
Amen.
There is a spiritual hunger in every person alive. I said there's a spiritual hunger on every person alive. Amen. They're all craving something. And they all go after something. Amen. If you're not chasing after God, then you're chasing after something in the world.
Amen.
And if you eat at the trough of the world, you're going to eat slop.
Amen. Amen.
Some of you remember that old slop? Come on. You remember it? It's nasty, wasn't it? Now it turns your stomach.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on. Drink a tequila with a worm in the bottom of it. Come on. I want to tell you folks, it's slop.
Amen.
I don't want the slop that the world has to offer me. Because the Bible said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. The Bible said He'll fill our mouth with good things. Ooh, hallelujah. I want you to understand that God's got some good things to give to His children. We don't have to eat the world's slop. Amen. We can eat the good things from the table of the Master.
Amen.
I believe the fifth thing, if we were to ask the prodigal son to describe the hog pen that he was in, he would say there is no freedom in the hog pen. You see, pig pens have fences around them. Come on, somebody. They can't get out. There's bondage in the pig pen. There's slavery in the pig pen. If you live in a pig pen, you may tell yourself you're free, but in reality, you're bound. There's only slavery and bondage in sin. Sin becomes your prison. That prodigal son may have convinced himself when he was walking down the road to that far country that he was free, but when he got there, he found out that freedom was merely an illusion. Amen. That he wasn't free. In reality, he had traded the true freedom, amen, that only comes in service to the Master, amen, for a slavery that drives a man's soul into the darkest depths, amen, of depression.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If we could ask the prodigal son this morning to describe the pig pen, I believe number six, he'd say, there is a doom hanging over your head. I said, describe that pig pen. He said, there's always a doom hanging over your head. Somebody said, what are you talking about, Brother Mark? Why in the world do people raise pigs? They raise them to slaughter. Come on. I said they raise them to slaughter them. Amen. Them pigs in that pen. Amen. There's a doom hanging over them. Oh, they might be getting all the slop they can eat. They might be getting all of that poured in that trough. Amen. But there's only one reason why they're doing it, Sister Brenda. Because that farmer's thinking about pork chops. Come on. There's a doom. There's a hedgeman axe waiting for them. There's a butcher knife with their name on it. I'm going to tell you, them people living out in sin, they think they're living it up. But what they don't realize is every one of them's headed to the slaughterhouse.
Amen.
They're going to be a cold slab hanging from a hook one day. Hell is awful, folks. Hell's everybody's worst nightmare, amplified thousands and thousands of times over. Amen. The pig pen's not liberty. The pig pen's not freedom. The pig pen's not pleasure. The pig pen is doom.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. They may convince themselves, oh, all the pigs are looking at one another and said, aren't we having a good time? Are we having the time of our life? Amen. You can convince yourself of that all you want to, but I'm here to tell you this morning that there's a doom hanging on every person that's in the pig pen.
Amen.
Amen.
The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 tells us. Last, number seven. If we could ask that prodigal son, describe the pig pen. He's already said it stinks, it's nasty. The company is bad. He's already told us there's a doom, there's no freedom. Come on. But if I were to ask him this morning, I said, can you describe that pig pen? I believe he would say, hallelujah, that there is something better.
Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. There is something better. You know, the reason I'm preaching this, I've actually been thinking about preaching it for weeks. But Friday night at the fellowship meeting, God began to deal with me about this message. They wasn't preaching on this, but God dealt with me. And I wrote it down on a little pad in my Bible. You know, some people don't realize how bad the pig pen is because they've never had a chance to compare it to anything else. Ooh, come on. Some people wasn't raised in the Father's house. Come on. Some people were raised on a bar stool. Some people were raised in a home where mom and dad screaming and hollering and cussing all the time. Some people were raised in homes, amen, where they let their daughters, amen, dress, amen, so immodestly. Come on. They don't know any differently. That's all they know. Is drinking, cursing, tobacco. Come on.
Amen.
But I want you to know, if you can compare that hog pen though, if you can realize there is something better than the hog pen.
Yeah.
And the point, amen, of change for the life of the prodigal son is when he realized, amen, that there was something better.
Yeah.
One day, Sister Brenda, he said, "My father's servants got it better than this." Whew! "My father's servants eat better than this."
Amen.
The good news is this morning is we eat better, folks.
Amen.
Woo! I said we eat better in the Father's
Amen.
House. Woo! He said the servants. He said, "My goodness, I'm treated like a dog." He said, "I just go home and be a servant and I'll get better treatment than I'm getting here in that pig pen." Woo, hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, the Father knows how to treat His servants.
Amen.
Woo! I said, the Father knows how to treat His servants. What does it matter if I'm just a servant in the kingdom of God? David said, I'd be content to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to know, amen, anything you do in the kingdom of God is infinitely better than anything the devil has to offer.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. Infinitely better. Praise God. I believe the prodigal son would say, "There's something better than the pig pen." Hallelujah. He packed whatever he had. He might not have had nothing but the clothes on his back. He climbed over that fence, pulled his feet out of that oozing, stinking mud, and said, "I'm going home. I know exactly where I need to be." He started that long trip down that dusty road. Hallelujah. I mean, it might have been a long way. It's a long ways when you're hungry. It's a long ways when you're miserable. He started that trudging down that road, dusty road. "I'm headed home." Every step brought him one step closer to the Father. Hallelujah. Every step brought him one step closer to a good hot meal. Every step brought him one step closer, amen, to being delivered from his bondage. And there come a day where he crested a hill and he recognized the scenery around him and said, "I'm almost home. I'm almost home." He looked ahead and he could see that little house sitting there in that pasture, and he said, "Oh, that's where it's at." Hallelujah. But you know the good news was, Sister Misty, when he looked at that house and he looked down that dusty road, amen, he saw something, amen, that really made his heart leap as he saw running down that road that father, hallelujah, with his arms wide open and saying, "My son has come home." And that father met him on the road, wrapped those arms around him, amen, hugged him close. Amen. Didn't care if he stunk. Didn't care if he smelled like a pig pen. He said, "My son that was dead is alive. My son that was blind, he can now see.
Amen.
He was lost, he's now found."
Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. My, my, my. He rolled out everything he could and they celebrated.
Amen.
The good news is if you wander away, you can come home. Hallelujah. You can come home. Brother Ronnie, we can come home, can't we? Woo! I remember when I first met Brother Ronnie over 20 years ago. I could see the call of God all over him. Hallelujah. Well, come on, somebody. I met Brother Steve same time. I could see the call of God all over him. Been a long, dark road a few times. Thank God the good news is we can come home.
Amen.
Woo! I said we can come home. Hallelujah. Amen. He's not going to close and bar the gate. He's not going to lock the door tight. Amen. He wants to accept you back. I'm telling you, He's a good God. His mercy endureth to all generations.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There is something better. There is something better. Hallelujah. Confessions from the pig pen. Stinks. It's dirty. The company is bad company, folks. There's a doom hanging over you. There's no freedom. The food is slop. Why would anybody want what the world has to offer when God has something so much better?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We don't have to live in sin any longer. I'm free. Stand with me all over this building. Oh God, we love you.